Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we have quite a full slate to go through on the final day of Tesla's second quarter. I cannot believe we are already heading into Q3. Time flies. But today we're talking about Tesla closing out the quarter, emptying showrooms today, and delivering the first long-range Model S's. So we've seen the Plaid deliveries. We've now got long-range Model S deliveries as well. We've also got analysts chiming in, sort of last comments before Q2 closes out. News from Hong Kong, that's pretty interesting. An update on a possible EV U.S. federal tax credit. Some news on Tesla Energy, a ruling on in Ohio on Volkswagen, and some news from Canada on electric vehicles. So we'll start off with the stock here today. Tesla finishing down 15 one-hundredths of a percent, 16 one-hundredths of a percent to $679.70. That compared to the Nasdaq, pretty much right in line with where Tesla was. Relatively quiet day. The Nasdaq finishing down around that level as well. So as I said, first long-range deliveries here for the new Model S. Great to see those get out. We had seen Tesla stockpiling some vehicles at Fremont, and it seems like some of those are finally now being delivered here on the final days of the quarter. So congratulations to the new long-range Model S owners. And I've definitely heard some other reports of people getting Plaid deliveries scheduled even for tonight. So Tesla, as usual, going right up into the wire for the end of the quarter. So we went through deliveries and production forecast yesterday. I just wanted to provide a couple of updates on that. So we've been kind of tracking this Tesla Shanghai account as we've gone through the historical information shared by this account. It has at times been relatively accurate, so that's why I've been sharing it. We're kind of following it throughout the quarter. Anyway, a few days ago, this account had reported that Q2 sales were locked at down 16%. Well, apparently they were not locked because now we've got a second update here today saying it says Q1 sales here, but they're referring to Q2 sales in China being down 11% only. And of course, that's just domestic deliveries. Tesla has grown exports in China in Q2. So total production in China and Shanghai is going to be up, but domestic deliveries may be down. This account is saying down 11%. So obviously, take it with a grain of salt. They said locked at 16. Now they're updating that already. So take it for what it's worth. But again, they have provided good information in the past, especially at the end of quarters. So if that is the case, if it's down 11%, that ends up being about 61,500 in Q1 in China. So you can see how that all comes together by quarter here. So if that is the case, we'd be looking at, 8,000 fewer deliveries in China in Q2 than Q1, but at least 12,000 more exports. And then that also pens the export number that we get for June, which this person is saying is zero. I think the number will be higher than that, but we'll have to wait and see. Anyway, that makes me feel a little bit better about my forecast yesterday of about 203,000 deliveries, 209,000 productions, something in that ballpark. But we should get the numbers here pretty soon on Friday. So we do have an update to the consensus. As every quarter comes, this kind of always happens each quarter where we'll see a FactSet consensus estimate, and then we get the company compiled consensus estimate. They end up being a little bit different, and the estimates can change too as we go through just the final days of the quarter. In this case, Tesla, the company compiled consensus estimate, so all the analysts that reported to Tesla, they are at 200,879 total deliveries for Q2, so a little bit higher than the 198,000 that we had seen from FactSet a few days ago. And I think Gary Black on Twitter today mentioning that FactSet, that number's increased to be right around this level as well. One thing that is important to note here is the split between Model 3 and Model Y. So they are expecting about 194,000 Model 3 and Model Y, and about 6,700 Model S and X vehicles. Obviously, that's probably going to be a little bit high for S and X. Tesla did still have a little bit of inventory at the end of Q1, but not enough to drive that. And I think Elon said at the Plaid delivery event they were kind of just doing 200 to 300 a week, or I think he said several hundred a week. So yeah, best case they're probably at a couple thousand even produced. I would be really surprised if there's more than 1,000 deliveries, but we'll have to wait and see on that. I don't think it's going to be 6,500. This is really just a case of estimates not being updated as the quarter has progressed, which is pushing the total a little bit higher than maybe what true expectations are. But same thing on the other end. Maybe analysts would, if they had updated, maybe they'd raise their estimates on Model 3 and Model Y. So we'll get to another piece later about maybe what Wall Street is truly expecting, but that's where we're at right now for the consensus. And again, that's about 2,000 lower than what I have for deliveries. So as I mentioned, analysts chiming in here, we've got a few of these to go through. We'll just quick hit through them. So Deutsche Bank, they've still got a $900 price target. David Thayer sharing this out on Twitter. Looks like, and I know this is small to see, but they're They've lowered their delivery estimate from 207,000 to about 200,000 units. So that's where Deutsche Bank is at. We've also got an update here from Morningstar. So they've actually increased their Tesla price target ahead of quarter end from $354 per share up to $550 now. They had a few important points in here. Probably nothing super worth noting, but they are expecting about 5.1 million vehicles in 2030. Obviously, that's way different than what Tesla is targeting, but they did increase that from their previous forecast of 4.3 million. One thing they did point out here is that they expect Tesla to continue to lower costs, but they expect other automakers to be able to lower their EV costs faster, which I think is actually a pretty valid point because Tesla's already done a big chunk of the lowering process. Obviously, there's still a ways to go, but that's kind of the race, you know, if Tesla can keep the lead that they have or if others narrow that lead. And can they narrow that lead enough to actually make up for the lack of, you know, value proposition that that gap presents? So it is kind of an interesting point, but other than that, nothing too crazy in the Morningstar update here. RBC Capital, they chimed in today as well. They're expecting 195,000 deliveries in Q2, so lower than the street consensus. And then I also saw Credit Suisse today give an update. They're expecting somewhere between 205,000 and 210,000. So that's on the higher end of what we have seen in terms of any of the forecasts out there. I definitely think that's possible. As we walked through yesterday, kind of at the end of the episode, my upside scenario, I definitely think that's in play. The wild card for me really this quarter is how many vehicles that were produced in Shanghai actually end up being delivered. And how well does Fremont production ramp up after Q1? How much was Q1 production limited because of supply chain issues or temporary shutdowns compared to Q2? So if the answer to those questions are a lot delivered from Shanghai and good Fremont production ramp, then I think we could definitely see a number in that ballpark or potentially even higher. So yeah, we'll just have to wait and see. All right, next up here, this is the news from Hong Kong. So I have it just pasted into Google Translate here, but this was shared on the Top Gear Hong Kong Facebook page. So they're saying, wait a minute, finally it's time to come. The Hong Kong Customs has approved Hong Kong price of Model Y, but the paradox is that the official website of Tesla Hong Kong has always been just two versions, performance and long range all-wheel drive, but the customs information actually shows three versions, so presumably also a standard range version, being registered there with Hong Kong Customs. So of course we saw that appear in the US for a little bit and then disappear. Maybe we're now on the cusp of seeing it reappear in Q3 from Shanghai. I think we had maybe had some rumors from CATL potentially producing a battery for the Model Y as well, which is what they do for the standard range in Shanghai Model 3. So here is just that information from the Hong Kong Customs website. You can see three versions of the Tesla Model Y. Yep, check, check. They've got a date in here of 2/7, which for Americans is going to look like February 7th, but that is actually the 2nd of July, 2021. And then they have the pricing there for the three versions in Hong Kong dollars, obviously. So we'll keep an eye on that. Hopefully early in Q3, we'll get some more information as this date is, you know, for just a few days from now. But something to keep an eye on with some of those other rumors that we had heard. And I think, you know, I haven't looked at this in a couple days, but I think we've still seen pretty short wait times on the Model Y in China in the design studio. So maybe it is getting to the point where it makes sense to reintroduce that standard range at a lower price. All right, next piece here. This is just a quick update on the potential EV federal tax credit. So as we had talked about previously, it was not included in the sort of infrastructure bipartisan framework that Biden said that he was supporting. But through the reconciliation budget process, they may be able to actually get that in and get it through. We just need to continue to keep an eye on it. But we got an update today from Gina McCarthy, who is a White House climate advisor. So she had a few comments to say, but what we're interested in is the comments on electric vehicle tax credit. So from Reuters here, quote, McCarthy also said the administration is pushing for consumer rebates for electric vehicles in the second package, the reconciliation package, end quote. A White House fact sheet released last week on the $1.2 trillion bipartisan bill framework did not include new money for electric vehicle rebates, but would spend $15 billion to boost EV charging stations and buy electric school and transit buses. Biden had pushed for $100 billion in EV consumer rebates. So just some reiteration that a potential EV tax credit is not necessarily dead yet, even though it wasn't in that framework. We'll have to see if it makes its way through the reconciliation process here. Next here, two pieces of news on Tesla Energy. So the first one here, just some exciting news. Tesla has now, well, I guess not Tesla, but Aravon, I think maybe I'm saying that incorrectly, but Aravon Asset Management, they have turned on a 400 megawatt hour battery storage system in California, featuring 142 Tesla Megapacks. This has been a 9-month project, and just now is getting turned on. So always exciting to see that happen. As for what it means for Tesla's financials, we can't really read too much into it from this little of information, but always good to see those projects coming online. So Carmen Ramirez, Ventura County District 5 Supervisor, said, quote, "Saying no to a gas peaker plant and yes to battery storage energy has provided our community with a non-polluting power plant, increased our tax base, and created good jobs and ultimately better health for the people. This project is truly a testament to Oxnard's determination and resilience to modernize and better our community." So great to see that. Obviously, this is just a press release, but nice to have those comments as well. So the next one, and this one actually is pretty interesting. So obviously, the weather has been really hot in a lot of places the last couple of weeks. California's experienced some of that as well. So here's a story from RMI.org, and they are reporting that on June 17th and June 18th, there were not blackouts in California. However, under previous energy management strategies, there may have been. California has brought a lot of energy storage online, and that has potentially helped with some of the blackouts that, you know, if there's no blackout, it's not going to really get reported on. So they're kind of covering that angle here. And the most interesting part of this article is just how much battery storage California is bringing online. So they cite a report here that says in May in California, they brought 675 megawatts of batteries online and expect another 343 megawatts by July 1st. So basically over the span of 2 months there, just between May and June, they're expecting to bring over a gigawatt hour of power battery storage online, which is just a ton of battery power. Obviously, we're not sure exactly how much that converts into actual storage, but if we go back and use this as context, obviously it can be, you know, much more storage. We've got a 100 megawatt system here with 400 megawatt hours. So this is talking about a gigawatt of power. Could be multiple gigawatt hours of energy storage coming online in California in just the span of a couple months. So this is definitely a rising tide, and I just wanted to make sure that this was pointed out. I'll put the link for this article. The whole article is pretty interesting, so I will put a link for this in the description today. All right, next up here, a little bit of news on Volkswagen. So we've actually talked about this topic before. Obviously, Volkswagen settled with the U.S. federal government in terms of the Dieselgate emissions fines and things like that that they had to pay. However, individual states weren't super happy with that, so individual states were also pursuing legal action against Volkswagen for, you know, the defeat devices and things like that on emissions testing. So Ohio's been one of the states going through this. I think Florida and one other have also been going through this process. But on Tuesday, Ohio State Supreme Court, this is per Reuters, actually approved this moving forward, or actually, I guess it cleared the state attorney to move forward with this lawsuit. So basically, this is at the Ohio Supreme Court level right now. They're seeking action against VW. VW is claiming that the federal settlement covers it, and obviously Ohio is not happy with that level of settlement. So they're pursuing this further, and that has now been allowed to continue through Ohio. So Volkswagen is going to appeal this, and this is going to now, I believe, go to the Supreme Court. The lone dissenting justice on this ruling said that the case could theoretically result in more than a $1 trillion judgment against Volkswagen if this is allowed to escalate, because then it could set a precedent for other states also pursuing their own individual retribution for the Dieselgate scandal. So it's going to be super interesting to continue to follow this as it, I think, will go to the Supreme Court next. Obviously, it could be quite a while before we have a decision on that, but something to keep an eye on. And as I mentioned, there are other states that have been pursuing this as well. All right, last thing today, this is a really interesting update from Canada. So Canada has announced that they are going to be setting a mandate for all new light-duty cars and passenger truck sales to be zero emission by 2035. They say that to get there, they're going to pursue a combination of investments and regulations to help Canadians and industry transition to achieve 100% zero emission vehicle sales by 2035. And they'll work to develop interim targets for 2025 and 2030 as well. So really interesting to see that. That's one of the more aggressive dates that we've seen put out there so far by a country. You may remember last week we went through the updates from Piper Sandler and from Ernst & Young, and they were both kind of expecting a flip over to just more than 50% of the market being electric vehicles, sort of in between 2030 and 2035. So for Canada to set that target of 100% by 2035 would definitely be more aggressive than kind of the current consensus is out there. So nice to see that for Canada if you are on the side of wanting electric vehicle adoption. So that will kind of do it for today then. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you are subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I will see you tomorrow for the, Thursday, July 1st episode of Tesla Daily, first episode of Q3. See you then. Thank you.